Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 4. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these wonderful passages of Scripture, Lord. Lord, they are unique, and Lord, you've included them in your word for a reason, to show us not only how Paul got to Rome, but Lord, exactly what took place in his final missionary journey. We thank you, Lord, that you did a wonderful work in him, and you used him and his fellow companions for your glory. And Lord, help us, we pray, to learn some encouraging truths to help us in our Christian lives this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we look at this little series on Paul's final journey to Rome, we've seen how he had a miraculous beginning. Last week we saw how the Lord provided some wonderful friends and fellowship for the journey. And tonight we are going to look at the reality of sailing into the storm. Sailing into the storm. Verses 4 to 6 give us some important details. The Bible tells us there in verse 4 that the winds were contrary. The winds were contrary. The time of year where they had set sail was autumn, and the winds had shifted to a northwesterly wind, and they were sailing against the direction of the wind. So if you can imagine, if you look this way, there's Judea, they're sailing to Rome, the winds are coming from the west, and they're sailing straight into the wind. And so the winds were contrary. So they kept going slowly, turning into the wind. They got to Myra, a city on the coast in southern Turkey. And there the Bible says that they switched ships. Notice verse number 6. They found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. So this was a larger ship. This was a stronger ship. It was perhaps a grain ship with some that was willing to carry the prisoners as well as some cargo to Rome. And verses 7 and 8 show us that things were not getting any better as they set off again. And when we had sailed slowly, verse 7, many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Amon. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. We'll continue in a second. But notice that the winds were not getting any better. They were becoming fiercer. And the ship was slow, and it was struggling to get to the south of Crete. If you know where Crete is, they're in the Mediterranean Sea. And they anchored at a place called the Fair Havens. And it had been a difficult voyage. But what was going to happen next was that they were going to sail into the storm. So tonight we're going to learn some lessons about sailing into the storm. Now notice, first of all, they didn't need to sail into the storm, because Paul, at this point, warned them. Notice verse number 9. Paul admonished them, verse 10, and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only with the lading of, and the ship, but also our lives." So Paul had some foresight. That's what we see first of all tonight. Paul's foresight. Now how did he know that there was danger ahead? Well, I believe that God told him. I believe that God warned Paul, and he was walking with the Lord, and he was telling them, "Look, we better stay here until this storm passes. We better stay anchored here in the shelter of the island of Crete, in this harbour of the Fair Havens, for the winter, rather than trying to sail against the storm. Now, the Bible says that the fast was already past. What does that mean? Well, that refers to most likely the Day of Atonement, which is early in October. And it was a dangerous time of the year to sail in the open, in the Mediterranean. You see, October to March is the equivalent of our November to May. It wasn't the time of year to sail out in the open sea. I mean, who in their right mind would say, hey, let's go from Cairns on a boat to Port Moresby in the middle of cyclone season? That, would you agree? That wouldn't be a wise idea. And it was a dangerous time to sail. Not that people don't sail during that time, but if you and I were on a boat, we'd rather not go out in the open ocean during that time of year. And Paul was bold enough to stand up and speak to them and urge them to say, look, this isn't a good idea. The ship is going to be in danger. Our lives are going to be in danger. And let me warn you that we ought to stay here. So Paul had some foresight. And what I'd like to draw out to apply to our lives is that as Christians, we have the privilege of having some foresight. Why? Because the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. What is that vision? But what does the Bible say? Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What vision is God talking about? He's talking about foresight based upon the Word of God. Amen? Based upon this supernatural Word of God. Now, of course, in Paul's day, he didn't have the Word of God in his hands. He didn't. They had sign gifts, which were the gift of receiving direct revelation from God and wisdom directly from God. And I believe this was directly from God. But in our Christian lives, we have the privilege of having spiritual foresight. We know the dangers ahead. Isn't it true that we know the dangers that wait ahead for the lost? Those who are lost in sin, we know that they're sailing into a storm. We know the storms of life will come upon them before the greatest and most catastrophic end, the shipwreck, if you will, the catastrophe of eternal separation from God. And so as Christians, we need to look at the example of the Apostle Paul tonight and say, well, think about it for a second. Would it have taken some courage for Paul, a prisoner, to stand up to warn the captain, shipmaster, the centurion? Would it have taken some boldness? Absolutely. Who was he? He was a nobody. He was a Jew. You know, to the Romans, he was absolutely, he had no place to speak up. And yet he stood up. You know, there are times in our lives, brethren, where we simply need to stand up. Stand up in our workplaces. Stand up in our families. Stand up in our the group of friends, of people we know around us. And we need to be bold enough to warn them about the gospel. To tell them that there is a danger ahead that is far worse than they could imagine. And that is our job as believers. God has entrusted us with that responsibility. But it's a privilege because we have the foresight. But it's also a responsibility as well. Paul could not just sit there knowing what he knew and not say a thing. He had to speak up. And the same urge, the same calling is within you and I. We need to speak up. We need to tell those we talk to sooner or later about the Lord. And we need God's wisdom to do that. Don't lose the opportunity to warn the lost around us. That as they sail into the storm, they need to know that there is danger ahead. And it's better to heed the warning that we give. So Paul was willing to do that. Are you willing, with the foresight God has given you, to warn others? Now that includes other Christians as well. You know, as Brother Huey said tonight, it's true. And it may sound extreme, but the reality is that's what happens. You can see it before your very eyes. You know, the world will draw away our young people. Well, what's wrong with a little bit of, well, in the end, that's what we see. We need to keep a heart for God, and when someone is straying, they also need someone to stand up and say, look, this is going to lead you in the wrong direction. The Bible says that open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The wounds of a friend are so much better than the flattery of those who aren't even your friends. They don't care about you, they just want something from you. But someone that rebukes you, they're willing to put that friendship on the line for the sake of God's glory and your good. So we have a responsibility to do that, to admonish, to caution. If you see another Christian sailing into a storm, we have a responsibility to warn them. To say, brother, in this choice, let's look at what God says. Let's test this with the Word of God. You know, what does the Bible say? At least you warn them. Now, Paul couldn't change their minds, sadly, but at least he did what was right. Amen. At least he could sit down and say, well, I've done my bit. Yeah, exactly. I've done my bit. And so the rest is what we see comes next. We've seen Paul's foresight. Notice the crew's foolishness. Verse 11. Are you still with me tonight? Look in verse 11. What happened next? Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Sadly, they didn't listen to Paul. They listened to the captain and its owner. And the ship's captain and the owner convinced the Roman officer to sail to Phoenice, which was a much better port, which was more comfortable, which was more sheltered. And so let's go for the next port. Let's head out into the sea. And they rejected the wisdom of God through the apostle Paul. So here we see the crew's foolishness. They received some warning, some wisdom. But what did they do with it? They forsook it, didn't they? Forgot about it. They declined from it. As Proverbs chapter 4 teaches us we can. So here's a perfect example of what not to do in your life as a Christian. This is how not to make examples. Not to make decisions, I'm sorry. This is a perfect example of how not to make decisions. Because there was danger ahead. They received the warning, but what did they do with it? They ignored it. Yes, but who were they listening to? That's right. They were listening to the shipmaster, the captain. They were listening to essentially the world and its advice on what they should do next. And so they got the expert advice of the pilot and the captain, and they looked at the circumstances and they said, well, there's a south wind that's blowing softly. It looks right. The captain's saying it's right. Forget about the Apostle Paul. Let's go for it. And what happened? They headed into disaster. And that's so often what happens in our lives, in great ways and in small ways as well. What happened? We end up listening to the world and we go off in the wrong direction, don't we? We listen to the advice of the world, or we look at the circumstances around us and we think to ourselves, well, this must be the right choice in this situation. This must be the right way to go. And sadly, so often we can listen to bad advice. Bad advice. Church family, your counselors, the Bible says, ought to be godly counselors. Amen? Not just any kind of counselors. Everyone wants to give you counsel when you have a problem, when you face a trial. Everyone will suggest, you know, this gentleman that came to Huey's house had been given much advice by the world. Everyone was giving him all the advice in the world, of the world, to him what to do. None of it was helping. None of it was helping. And it would continue to lead him into a place of disaster. And so the reality is there is heaps of advice everywhere. Family who aren't saved, they'll tell you what you should do. They'll tell you what you shouldn't do. And sometimes the circumstances will match up with what they're saying. And yet the question is, what does God say? What does God say? What circumstances are signs that confirm His word. That's the those are the kind of circumstances we need to look for. If they don't confirm the word of God, then they're just circumstances. They're just circumstantial. But if they confirm what God tells us to do in His word, the wisdom of His word, what He's already said in His word, then we know what He would have us to do. So just because the wind is blowing this way doesn't mean we should go that way. Isn't that true? We need to stand still. Amen? We need to stand still and listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God as He speaks through His word. And sadly, they heeded to the things of the world more than they did to Paul. That's what the verses tell us very specifically. More than to Paul. So they listened to Paul, but they heeded to the world. So that was the crew's foolishness. Let's not be foolish, amen, as believers. Let's be reminded tonight to listen to God, amen, and to listen to His voice. Why? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Remember that. There's a good memory verse. All right, notice next the crew's fearfulness. So foolishness then next, what's the next step down? Fearfulness. Fearfulness, verse 14. So they didn't stay there. The south wind blew and they thought, well, okay, verse 13, let's go. Circumstances are right, off we go. But verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Now the word tempestuous is where we get the word typhoon from. And if you know what the word typhoon means, it's the same as our word cyclone. They call it a typhoon up north. In Europe, we call it a cyclone down south here in Australia. So what they were facing wasn't just an ordinary storm. It was cyclonic. It was huge. You wouldn't go out in your boat into a storm like that unless you were crazy. But they rejected God's wisdom. They listened to the world. And now they were sailing fearfully into the storm. Notice just a few details. Verse 15. The ship was caught in the wind and could not bear up into the wind, so we let her drive. What did they do? They let it go. They couldn't control the ship. It was out of control. The wind was so strong, they couldn't do anything, so that the wind just drove the ship further, 37 kilometers south to the island of Clauda. Verse 17. In their desperation, the Bible says that when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strike sail, and so we were driven. What they were doing, they were undergirding the ship. Now, I don't know how they did it. Obviously, someone had to swim under, or with weights. They tied the ship together with ropes or chains so that it wouldn't break apart. I mean, that tells you how fierce the storm was. They thought the ship would literally break apart in the storm. On the second day, if you continue to read on, they started to throw out some weights, some things that were weighing down the ship. They threw out some grain overboard. So that's how we know that it was a grain ship. And then we see that on the third day, they cast out the tacking, the anchor, the sails, the cables, baggage. Could you see that they were in a desperate situation? Notice verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, what did the sailors of biblical days use as navigation? What was their main navigational tool? The stars. Young people, if you learn about history, they use the stars to know where they're going, to know where they are. And because of the storm, they could no longer see the stars. They had no idea where they were. They had no compasses. They had no idea where they were. They were lost. They were in the midst of the storm. The ship could sink at any moment. And so therefore, the Bible tells us that all hope is lost. Now, don't miss the lesson here in God's word. This all happened. Why? Why? Why did this all happen? Because they went their own way. They failed to obey the will of God and to listen to God's wisdom. Isn't that true? It's true for the unsaved. It's true for the saved. And we need to be careful not to recklessly sail into the storms of life. Now, don't misunderstand. God is gracious to us. Amen. He is with us in the storm. But sometimes we sail into the storm ourselves, don't we? Sometimes God leads us into the storm for a reason, because he wants us to grow in our faith. But then there are other, completely other situations where we don't listen to what God is saying, and he doesn't want us to go in that direction, and we do, and we find ourselves in a place, perhaps like these sailors, where it seems that all hope is lost. All hope is lost. What am I doing in this place? How did I get here? And I can't see which direction I'm going anymore in. And so as Christians, let's understand that this is how these men felt. They were afraid. They were without hope. They thought they were going to die. And when we get to that place, we need to be reminded that all hope is not lost. Amen. Because all we need to do is to do what they should have done before, to listen to the one who told them not to go in that direction. And that's what we need to do. So notice Paul's faith as he redirects them back to God. Verse 21. But after long abstinence. So can you see Paul's patience? He didn't speak up straight away. After a while, Paul had waited. He was trusting in God, obviously. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." So Paul stood up in faith and he said, "Look, you've made the wrong choices, but there's still hope. You've lost all hope now, and you're down and afraid and without hope. But let me encourage you, there is hope. Let me encourage you with words of comfort, with words of cheer." In verse 25, he says, "I believe God." And that's the answer. Amen? That's the answer to hopeless moments. That is the way out of the storm, to come back to God, to come back to the Lord, to come back and to get back on track as a Christian, to believe God. And that's what Paul said. Paul said to them, "Look, we've ended up in this mess because you rejected God's wisdom. But even more reason now to listen to God, even more than before." And that's what he was challenging them to do. And we'll see more in our next message. But you see, here's Paul's faith once again. And Christian, if you're sailing into the storm and you're tossed about and there's no light around you, remember that there is light. There is light in the Word of God. There is light in the promises of God. There is light if we believe God. Even when we head in the wrong direction, God is still with us. He was still with this ship. He was still with Paul. It wasn't God's will for them to be destroyed or even to die or even to lose one life. Yet they deserve to, because they rejected God's wisdom. God is gracious to us, brethren. But let's listen to him first before heading in the wrong direction. If there's someone else sailing into the storm, let me encourage you to have the foresight to speak to them, to stand up, to protect them. And as Paul's example shows us, you know, as you witness people all around you rejecting the wisdom of God, don't get angry. You know, the Bible says that Paul, after a long time, sought the right opportunity to stand up and say, "Listen, you should have listened to me." But he didn't do that straight away. He didn't rub salt into their wounds after long abstinence. And don't give up on those who are lost, headed in the wrong direction. Don't get angry and say, "I told you that would happen at the first chance." Amen? That's not necessarily wisdom. May the Lord give us wisdom for the opportunity and the way in which we say it as well. To say, "Look, I believe God. And God has hope for you. There's hope in your situation. Don't despair, but you need the Lord. Amen. Rather than "I told you so." Amen. That was the Apostle Paul. So here we see some wisdom as they sail into the storm. The crew's foolishness and fearfulness, but Paul's foresight and his faith. And let's be more like the Apostle Paul, amen, than the crew.